Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
It's good, man. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Okay. Now, by the way, we were just talking about this. I know you love you some baseball. Do you think this has the makings and potential for an all-time World Series?
It's pretty darn good.
Yes.
Pretty riveting. Even though I was at the Stars game last night, I had the World Series on my phone, kept checking on it. Yeah,
I love it. Did you,
game in Dallas?
Yeah, for now. Mm-hmm. Were you proud of the Stars for taking better care of the puck and having better passing lanes along the way?
That mm-hmm. sounds good. Mm-hmm. I was most proud that the defense kind of hung in there and helped Ottinger out and were able to clear out any second chances for the majority of the game.
Now, that is a perfect segue because, as we usually do here, we will talk about defense. But I had a broader question for you to kick this off. What does defensive consistency look like to you for this Cowboys team? Because we've talked a lot about, like, oh, you know, if they can be more consistent or execute and this and that. Like, what does that defensive consistency look like to you for this team?
Well, if we just use the previous two games, you know, against Washington, they basically, cut down on the amount of big plays they gave up, the explosive plays. I think those are the things that really, really hurt a defense. I don't know if I told you guys this, but that first half Sunday, Broncos needed only 22 plays to score 27 points.
Oh.
So these drives were like 5 plays, 6 plays, 8 plays, 7 plays, whatever, something like that. And I think that's one thing that against Washington, I know they had a big play early, but they kind of limited that. Now, they also had their 4th, 5th, and 6th wide receivers
right
on the field, right?
Right.
So we can consider that. But they eliminated big runs also. Not a 40-yard touchdown run when no one lays a hand on the guy for 40 yards.
Yeah.
So
James,
that's part of you know, that consistency. I thought they were more active up front against Washington, and they certainly weren't in this game. Now, sometimes it has to do who you're playing, right? And, you know, maybe their offensive line was much better than what Washington's offensive line was. So, you know, but that's kind of coach speak for playing uneven from week to week is, well, we got to be more consistent. Until that game, the offense scoring 17 points on, you know, I'm not counting that garbage time touchdown. The offense had been pretty much consistent other than the second half against Philadelphia and the Bears game. So you can, you know, kind of count on them to score 31 or more points. And this one, not so much. Well, maybe the Broncos were that good. You know, you always blame yourself, right? You never give the other guy any
I am
any
guilty
credit,
of that, yes.
Right? And, you know, that what Denver's won now, what, 5 straight games? They got something going.
You know the trap I fall into there, and you're definitely right about that, and it is hard to win games in the NFL. I fall into the trap of, I just look at that first 3 quarters of how garbage they were against the Giants, and I'm like, are they that good?
Right, right, right. Does the last quarter count?
Yeah.
So they obviously had something to be able to do that, right?
For sure.
Now look what they've done over 5 quarters, though. you know, counting the Cowboys game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
What does that come to, like 77 points?
It's crazy, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So going back to your consistency, you know, I think that's kind of coach speak, that kind of covers everything. Well, we're not consistent. Well, what wasn't consistent? Were you not consistently prepared the same way? Did you not prepare? Did you not study? Did you take an opponent for granted, which I can't imagine you can take anybody for granted when you're just sitting there at 3-3-1, right?
Sure.
You haven't done anything to act like, oh, okay, I'm just going to walk into Denver and no problem. So I think that has something to do with the consistency. And, you know, was the coaching staff consistent, you know, for how they prepared against Washington to did what they planned to do against Denver not work as well? Maybe something, you know, they said, okay, we can do this, and then they couldn't do it. You know, the pass rush wasn't consistent. Now, if it's effort, then I really got a problem.
Do you think it is?
I just can't imagine you don't go out there and try your best, right? Now, is it preparation, like during the week? Did you practice as hard as you should have? And that's, you know, we don't get to see that, so that's hard to judge. But I just can't imagine guys go out there and try to embarrass themselves by not giving good effort.
Right.
I think it's a fallback. Well, they didn't give good effort. Well, maybe they were just getting their butts beat. You know, maybe they weren't good enough. And God forbid if we ever say that, right?
Yeah.
Whoa, they weren't as good. Well, the score suggests they weren't. Now, for the reasons, you know, that's left to decide.
Marvin Harrison Jr. has not cracked 100 yards this year. He did. He got to 98 against the Titans, but he has not cracked that 100-yard marker.
He hadn't played against this secondary.
Yeah, that's why I was going to ask Mickey, is Dallas the panacea for that?
Oh, nice. You're going to start stealing my word, huh?
Already did.
Yeah, Kevin said it this morning, so it's now just in our
I think I heard it, by the way. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Now, again, you know, who's he playing with at quarterback too?
Yeah, the difference between Kyler and...
Yeah, and Brissett.
Yeah,
Brissett. The backup that's been playing. So, yeah, you know, that has a little bit to do with it. I don't know that it's all on the wide receiver, you know, protection, things like that. You know, you can say, well, you know, George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb didn't have as good a game. What happened? Well, I can tell you what happened. It happened in the pocket because... Dak was under siege the entire game. You know, the very few times that he have a clean pocket or he didn't have to hurry and throw the ball. So, yeah, that's hard to say just looking at the stat and understanding, well, why is this happening? There's probably a lot of factors that go into that.
Panacea is still on my mind there, Kevin. So that's
it's a good word.
Yeah,
it is absolutely a good word.
They have a chaos running back room. DeMarcado, you know, the drop ball at the goal line. That running game, though, we've seen Arizona go at the Cowboys before and take advantage of it. When Micah, that was the first time I think I noticed that Micah struggled in certain areas. That was my first time to notice that. Do you feel like their running game without James Conner is still potent?
Yeah, probably not as good, right? Yeah. There's a reason the guy's the starter, and there's a reason the guys are backups. But I realize they're, you know, not scoring a heck of a lot of points. What is it, in the last five games that they lost, you know, they scored 27 against Indianapolis, but the rest are 20, 21, 23, 15. So, yeah, they haven't been consistent off it. Well, they've been consistently low scoring, right? But here's the other thing. In those five losses, none of them have been by more than, what,
four points?
It is remarkable how close they've been in those five losses.
Even their wins.
To good teams.
Yeah.
Like the teams that they've lost to are good teams, and they're remarkably close.
Yeah, they won by seven. They won by five. I'm looking at the thing right now.
Every
game. They
lost
by 1, 3, 1, 4, and four.
Wow. So gear up for a close game, Mickey.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's this team too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones they win, usually not a blowout.
True.
And the ones they lose, you know, doesn't look so good. Although, you know, with a couple of them, you've got a possession at the end of the game down four and you didn't do anything with it. And then, you know, you squandered opportunities in the Carolina loss and you lost by three. And the tie ends up with 1 second to go in overtime.
Right.
So, yeah, you can sit there and go, okay. But sometimes I go back and I look at the 1-15 season in 89.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of close scores, and that's why you say, well, you know, you could have if you did this, or but you didn't do it, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of piles up. Or you can look at, you know, 500 seasons, and you go, well, if you just had done this and this, you know, at least could have been 9-7, maybe 10-6. So, yeah, that's kind of the way this this league goes. Now, you know, the key thing is if defensively in the secondary, if they can get healthy, and I just from the looks of things, you know, maybe Donovan Wilson gets back out there.
Right.
But sounded like from, you know, what Schottenheimer had to say, Hooker not going to get there. Wanya not going to get there. And then Elijah Clark, probably a week or two. So you're kind of in the same situation at the safety position. And now at cornerback, you're kind of in the same deal now. And who knows, even if, you know, after the IR stint for Trayvon Diggs, if he comes back, you know, well enough to play, just so, being out the three more games.
Speaking of that, I know
somebody bugged my conversation yesterday also.
Okay.
Oh, really?
About
I just chucked on it, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I had something for you guys, and then I saw it got in the morning news this morning.
Yeah.
We will stop asking for those things.
No, and so the bottom line was, you know, both surgeries he had were on the left knee, the ACL and then the crondyle, whatever they called it, this past offseason, right?
Yeah.
And then when Jerry said, well, it's the other knee, well, he was, Dr. Jerry was right. It was the right knee, and he's got somewhat of a, how do I explain it? Sort of a degenerative thing going on there. And that's why, you know, I don't know if you saw it in games, I've seen it in practice, he's riding the stationary bike to keep that leg loose. And that's what's bothering him. But now that he's on injured reserve and in concussion protocol, then, you know, they don't list a injury update when you're on IR. You're on IR, right? You probably won't hear anything official about that unless Trayvon Diggs decides to talk about it.
Right.
And which, then this other thing, and here's another thing that's bugging me. I keep hearing, and I heard, and so I didn't read it, right? I'm just telling you secondhand information that it was Micah Parsons said the Cowboys forced Trayvon to return sooner than
yes,
should've.
He right? said they effed him over.
Yeah, right. Okay, give me a break. Who went with that without trying to double check on it, right? To see what happened.
You know how media culture works? A lot of people went with it.
Here's what happened is he did his off-season training on his own, and he wasn't far as long as he would have been if he'd done it here. And that delayed it. But they didn't force him to go play, right?
Right.
It just took longer than it should have. He should have been ready for training camp, or at least have an opportunity if he was working with the people here, not working on his own from afar. Now, they kept tabs of him. You know, my understanding was they were getting video and stuff like that, but they weren't actually doing it themselves, right? And then, you know, did he continue rehabbing after the break, after the mini camp? Because
hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show, we're also a podcast. Find the Sean and RJ Show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He should have, to try to get ready for the start of the season.
Right.
Now, who knows if he did or not, because he wasn't here. Guys that were rehabbing, you know, they don't take a break. They continue rehabbing. So, I saw that get started, and it's like, you might double check with somebody else before you believe whatever Dr. Parsons has to say.
Well,
and best friend, by the way.
Yeah, I am shocked that you insinuate that Mike Parsons would just say something that was not based in tons of factual evidence.
Yeah, right. Just like, all right, they forced him to go back too soon. No, he didn't get back soon enough, probably.
Thank you very much, Mickey. Outstanding stuff as always. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Okay, talk to you.
Kevin, you're a big A&M fan, right?
That's true.
Do you follow Marcel Reed on Instagram?
I do not follow anybody on Instagram except for, I think, like my wife and the station.
He posted pictures of him from LSU's game.
Okay.
And the caption says, Kyle Field East.
I mean, the way that game ended, it did kind of feel like that.
You think LSU fans hate him?
Oh, yeah. Well, actually,
just destroyed them, dude.
But they shouldn't. Actually, you know what? I rescind that opinion. They love him because he helped get rid of the coach they didn't like.
Oh.
So I think they're fine. They're like, if that is the crap that you have to eat to get rid of Brian Kelly, then so be it, right?
I like it. I love the confidence, too.
Absolutely. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus we have a bear epidemic.
Bears.
Next on the Fan.
Ground ball left side. Pass Mookie Betts, at 6-1. A fourth spot for the Jays in the seventh.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Alec, I have a question. This is my question of the day for you.
I'm scared.
If someone or an entity gives a really generous peace-a-thon package, but you see one little other thing that could make it even better, it's probably rude to go back to that person and be like, hey, would you do this as well? And I should just accept what was given for the charitable auction.
I think the rule of ethics kind of goes away when charity is involved.
Ooh.
So I know how the Kevin Hagelin shakedown works when it comes to getting things for Peace-a-thon. So right. I say all that's out the window. Do what you can to get the best available prize package.
Speaking of the shakedown, breaking Peace-a-thon auction news in case you want. The lovely, lovely people at Worth Collecting in Waxahachie have donated a Topps basketball package that includes a blaster box, a hobby box, and a jumbo hobby box of 2025-26 Topps basketball, so you can chase those Cooper flags. Now, it's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the Pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, we have a bear epidemic. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Yeah, Corey. Bears. Beware. Real Bears. Not here, though.
Do you have a healthy fear of the bear?
I would say so. I mean, they're cute and fluffy and everything when they're babies, but seeing how massive, like, fully grown adult black bears are, yeah, I don't want to mess with them. I really don't. And I even, like, I've seen some TikToks of people that live in those areas that are bear infested.
TikToks you look at.
Yeah. Don't expand on that. Where, like, they'll come up to their back porch and they're just sitting there, like, fraternizing with the bear. And yeah. I'm like, why? Why do you choose this? I don't care if you've been around long enough to know if they're nice or not. I'm not messing with a bear.
I could take on a bear.
For what? Before you die?
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
See, Alec, like, what am I supposed to do? I want to put that to the test, but he'll die.
Yeah.
And so I don't
really
want
rent
that.
A bear?
Oh, I'd rent a bear to fight you. But again, in theory, because I think you'll die and I don't want that. But I also want you to recognize that you're wrong.
But what if I took the bear down?
Then I would have, you know what? Then nothing I ever said on this show would be able to be held to scrutiny by Corey, because he's like, really? Are you sure that's
time?
What we're going to do? And I'd be like, never mind. We
so
can
you
do.
Would you would then start going, you know what? I guess a team can go 162. And
yes. Oh, 100%.
Now I kind of want to fight the bear just because. Because
you know what you would say? You'd be like, oh, just like I couldn't beat up that bear. And I'd be like, well, all right, you've got me there.
I'm going to make some phone calls after the show and see if I can commission a bear. We'll get to that.
But he's going to die.
Or not.
I mean, he seems confident, doesn't
he? That's great. Like, the world is not littered with confident people right before they got taken down. Like that person who texted in about A&M. They're probably right.
We'll get to that on Friday.
That's valid. That's very valid. But before we get to the question of the day or any of that good stuff, friend of the morning show, friend of the station, Tommy Yarish, doing some reporting on the Dallas Cowboys, as that's his job. So good for him. Tommy has tweeted and said that the Cowboys have opened the 21-day return to practice window for defensive tackle Perrion Winfrey.
Man, remember what an issue that was during training camp, whether or not he was on the team?
Yeah, and the misreporting about him getting cut, and then he wasn't actually cut. And yeah, that was a whole mess. Everybody was really in love with the idea of him being on this team. He gets hurt in practice, and now it sounds like he's going to return to practice.
Here we go.
The cavalry is on the way, Kevin.
Oh my gosh, big changes.
So excited.
Yeah,
big
don't
changes
you dare be sour.
Oh, he's going to come back when Overshown does?
Yeah.
How come he never got mentioned in the people coming back?
Well.
We have to ask these serious questions.
Sorry. Could Corey beat up a bear or not?
Yeah. I kind of want to change my question of the day to that, but that's ill-advised.
No is my answer if that is your question.
No, it's not. It's National Cat Day.
No.
It's National Cat Day. Yes, it is. 877-881-1053. I want to know, because Kevin doesn't like real cats, who's your favorite fictional animal of all time? 877-881-1053.
Garfield.
Garfield is a cat. So that works.
Fictional animal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you count Falcor as an animal? The flying dragon from Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about the liger?
Is that real?
From Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh,
he drew them, the ligers. I think it's unicorn. It's easily unicorn. And
their
sex field is a rainbow.
Oh.
I pick the murdering unicorn from Cabin in the Woods.
Why are you doing
when
that?
When all of the evil creatures get out, this unicorn straight up runs and gores this dude into a wall. That was awesome.
I could take on a murder unicorn.
You could not.
Prove it.
Well, you got me there.
Yeah, great point. Go find one. Can you commission one of those two?
Unicorns are amazing, dude. Just think about it. A,
they're not real.
He said fictional animal.
Oh, yeah.
Is that not fictional?
I thought he meant more from like TV and movies, not things we've made.
It can be animated. It can be, like whatever. As long as it's not real. If it's a character.
Okay.
I got the one seed, bro.
You do. With Garfield.
Yeah.
Man, go check out that Garfield Halloween special. Still kind of scary.
Yeah, and I'm glad that Corey mentioned that because it allows me to dig this back up from like 2 or 3 years ago.
Garfield is a cat.
So Thank you.
Does it make it more definitive that I said so after that? Like,
so
what did I say after? I wonder.
Get it?
We may never know. Yeah, sure. Deal with it, Kevin.
Okay.
Deal with it. Favorite fictional animal for National Cat Day, as we all celebrate National Cat Day.
So I'm allergic to cats.
Okay, that's why you have that's a why disdain I
don't,
in your heart.
I don't care for cats.
What happens if you touch a cat?
It's not one of those allergies that like I have to get the EpiPen or anything like that.
Okay, good.
It just
irritates you.
Yeah, and my eyes will get swollen and red, and like if I go outside for a little bit and just take in some of that outside air, we can calm it all down and then do the process all over again.
So you're not a fan of the cat then?
No.
Interesting.
I don't like that. I'm glad that it's not like anything life-threatening for you, Kevin, because often show up with cat hair on me because it is impossible to get all of the animal fur off of your clothes at one single time.
Are you ever surprised that that's not more disqualifying for some animals? You're like, hey, they'll love you, but there'll be crap everywhere all of the time. And you're like, that's fine.
That's what I hate about the battle of like picking out a dog breed is like if you go with the long hair, it's a lot of maintenance, right?
Yeah.
But if you go with the short hair, they shed everywhere. Yeah. And it gets all over the furniture. It gets all over the clothes that you haven't even worn in years. Furniture. So you're like, how? Furniture.
Swaggy Booty says funny. Birds. Since birds aren't real.
Oh,
are we?
Yeah.
We're really going to do that today?
They're little satellites.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is kind of somehow weirdly going back to the open of this show. Just in a weird way. I don't know. Maybe.
By the way,
I think
the fan text is broken.
I called that one.
Yeah, I think it is too.
No.
Yeah, if you've sent a text in and Alec has not read it, it's because I think the fan text is broken.
Looks like it has been for about 14 minutes now.
Even my response to the A&M person didn't come through.
Yeah, I just tested it, and there's a...
No dice.
There's nothing coming through. So if you want to hit us up on the YouTube or the Twitch, or you can hit up Alec on Twitter.
That's right. Alec on the radio on any socials, really. Mm. So now what we have here in front of me is I do...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif
and RJ Choppy.
Did you know that Sean and RJ is both a radio show and a podcast?
No way. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. And whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a list of the greatest fictional animals in pop culture history.
That's what I'm talking about.
Do you have any guesses?
Unicorn!
Or any votes? I'm talking about like characters.
Okay. Yeah. As long as Garfield's above Heathcliff... I'm all right.
You didn't like Heathcliff.
No, I did. Heathcliff, no one should terrify the neighborhood, I think. But Garfield is better than Heathcliff because he was more of a smack talker in his own way.
He definitely was.
And I do respect the, like...
Dory.
Oh, that's a good one.
Is she on the list?
Oh, yeah.
Let's
Wallaby
see.
Way.
I think I intentionally pulled up an awful list here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is actually terrible. There's a lot of omissions on this one, and I like it. Gresham Davis wrote this article in 2018.
Snoopy helped us win World War II.
That's true.
That's right. So this list is headlined by none other than Mickey Mouse.
It makes sense. Makes sense.
Kevin has some
you don't
some
like
context
Mickey Mouse?
On Walt Disney as well.
Look, man. Look
Why do you up, hate Mickey?
Look up who Walt Disney really was.
It's not Walt Disney we're judging here. It's Mickey Mouse. He's a different character.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The guy who made me had hate in his heart.
Okay. Every single character was made by a man.
Whoa. Whoa.
Name a woman. Y'all can't.
Tori Spelling.
But we took Bobby to do that, guys.
Because I was laughing at your every character was made by a man. Definitive statement.
Even, I'm telling you.
Even Minnie Mouse. I bet a woman didn't make Minnie Mouse.
Why not?
Maybe she suggested
it. I bet she did, and someone stole her idea.
Let's go see.
I'm really not beating the allegations that this segment is just clip farming for Masterpiece of the Week every week. I'm starting to think that I might be the problem here. But elsewhere on this list, after Mickey Mouse, you have Tom and Jerry coming in at number 2 and 3.
Oh, okay. Which one is ranked higher?
Tom.
Okay.
That makes sense.
It's the cat.
Yeah. Ah, that doesn't make sense. Jerry's the better one.
Why?
Because he got the best of the cat all the time.
Mm.
Cat didn't know what he was doing. He was always trying to capture Jerry. Guess what?
Or protect his house.
Remember that time that Jerry was invisible and then he came back from invisibility and he was like, oh crap, you can see me?
What?
Yeah.
We'll run down the rest of this list real quick here. Coming in at number 4 and beyond, Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bugs Bunny.
Bugs Bunny was classic, dude.
Daffy Duck.
What's up, Doc?
He could strike people out with one pitch.
Nobody liked Daffy Duck.
Because he was the foil.
Remember that time he exploded himself?
And his beak was on the other side. And he just,
that was always my favorite bit.
Do you think cartoons set a dangerous precedent of like you break your ankle and you can just twist it back around?
Yes.
That's what Romo thought about that one Dak play.
Oh, jeez. All right. The rest of this list, before this goes any crazier, Top Cat, Barney coming in as well. Yogi Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Simba.
Ooh.
Simba.
Timon.
Ahead of the dad?
Yeah. Pumbaa. Man. And then rounding out this list, Garfield.
Yeah.
Garfield comes in at number 10.
Your face, Kevin.
The best pop culture animals.
I don't know if I feel good about Pumbaa or whatever being ahead of Mufasa.
Well, I don't feel good about if I'm going to go to Japan anytime soon, because Japan is deploying its army to address unprecedented spike in bear attacks.
Oh, no. What?
The army?
Yeah. They are deploying.
We gotta send the army to go take down the bears.
There are 60 countries on the planet where bears can be found in the wild, with the bulk of them in the northern hemisphere. That includes Japan, which is home to upwards of 60,000 bears in the wild, not including zoos. And thanks to the estimated 44,000 black bears on the islands of Honshu, and a couple of other islands as well, where there is a combined 44,000 black bears. And there has been an unprecedented spike, which has recorded a high annual death toll while injuring more than 100 people.
So I believe that. I'm not disputing that bears can kill people. I wouldn't have thought we needed to deploy our army to take care of the bears.
So,
but here we are.
The reason that the spike has happened is because climate change, topical to the open of the show, has impacted natural food sources and led to the animals getting desperate for a meal. So they are attacking campers and people near the forest. So if you're traveling to Japan anywhere, get your anti-sea bear circle ready to go.
Man, that might have been an all-time edition of AM on the FM.
Thanks, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we didn't get a chance to do this a little bit ago. We'll go through some of the NFC East while also discussing the Daniel Jones effect. Next on The Fan.
From the gun, Jones fires, end zone, touchdown, Tyler Warren. The Colts can do no wrong.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Powered by Men's T Clinic, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to Men's T Clinic for giving me the confidence that I can take on a bear.
Mm.
I don't know if that's like their selling point, but for me, that's a personal thing. So.
If you win, I feel like that could go in the promo. I don't know. I don't know if that
I think I would probably add that. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So I want to start with some navigating the NFC East. We got a ton of content today, so we don't have a chance to fit it all in just one segment. Do you want, we're going to save the Eagles. Do you want Commanders or Giants?
Let's go with the Giants.
Okay. So for the Giants, Jackson Dart was sacked 5 times on Sunday, and in part because of that and the pressure they were getting on him, completed just 58% of his passes.
Dang. How much of, like you say, pressure, how much of that do you think Scataboo not being there affects that as well?
Yeah. No, I could absolutely
just
see that.
Just because like his threat now changes things a lot.
Now, Saquon Barkley was able to run all over them because the Giants were 31st in the NFL, allowing 5.2 yards per carry going into Sunday's game. Don't worry about who's 32nd. That only got worse.
That's the Cowboys.
Oh, well, you don't know that. Actually, you probably do.
Who is it?
I mean, it is the Cowboys. That's why I told you not to worry about it, okay?
Gotcha.
So the Eagles ran for 277 yards against them. Saquon Barkley had 10.7 yards per carry, and the Eagles averaged 8.4 yards per carry as a team.
And now Saquon's on a bye week, and I have to find another running back for this week in fantasy.
Ooh.
Oh, I mean.
Question.
Dang it.
Would you like a new solution for the bye week? Instead of the bye week, you can, of course, bench that player still, or you get their average total points thus far that year in its spot.
That's interesting.
Can we change the fantasy football game here?
No.
No.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think you know, fantasy football is very real. And and so you gotta have to keep it as realistic as possible.
And then Darius Slayton. Just two catches
on quarterbacks out there.
Five targets for 26 yards. Although that offensive pass interference could have really changed that up.
When Neighbors went out, that passing game really fell a lot.
Yes.
Darius Slayton is not, there's no comparison with that group.
Yes. I absolutely agree with that. All right. I want to ask you guys about the concept of the Daniel Jones effect. All right. Do you think this will be a real thing? Daniel Jones, you've seen it with Sam Darnold. You've seen it with Baker Mayfield. Do you think that more teams are going to be like, you know what? I can rehabilitate a former first-round quarterback or a whoever. Mm. And maybe more teams will be okay with going that route. Because I realize like Sam Darnold ultimately in the playoffs didn't work out. We'll see about Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield. But they've all had really good regular seasons. Do you think more teams will be like, you know what, I can find somebody off the scrap heap?
If you have the connection. And the connection is somebody from the McVay offensive tree.
Okay.
Most of these guys have either gone through McVay or O'Connell. Like they're in that grouping. And so I think if you have somebody that can break it down for those guys the way they do, then yes. But Kevin, like that idea of that's been around for a while. Oh, right. We can pick up this quarterback and try him out, and he's a journeyman quarterback.
But it feels like maybe it's starting to move in a better direction.
Like Daniel Jones floats through Minnesota at the end of his last year, and then he steps into this. And now, obviously, Steichen's doing something good with that, but he learned a little bit about himself while he was there. And I just think that you look at the window or the Shanahan group.
Yeah,
you know, I think that helps out as well. But that group right there seems to have done something to help the quarterback organize the importance of things and help them refine themselves.
Now, James Cook and Jordan Love were named the AFC and NFC Offensive Players of the Week, respectively. You mentioned Aiden Hutchinson in the first segment of the show. My guess was 170 to 180. He comes in at 4 years, $180 million. With $141 million of that guaranteed, feels like he's lived up to every bit of the draft position hype.
Is that good for him, the amount of money?
It's $45 million per year, so that puts him behind Micah, but firmly ahead of the previous crop of people who got
paid. Wasn't there like a lot
He was the first ever millionaire.
I don't know. I don't think that's
You might be right, Mike.
I don't think that is right.
Why was there not a lot of back and forth in the media?
Because the Lions run a tighter ship, or let's be honest, B, Aiden Hutchinson seems to have a completely different personality focus than Micah. Aiden Hutchinson seems to care about winning first and his branding next.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I do not think that is the case for Micah.
What about Dak?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And CD. What is the common denominator
that
here, Kevin?
They're all with the Cowboys with an owner that loves to talk.
He's
by
like,
the
hey,
way,
hey, these are headlines. Let's use them.
He'll be on with us at 10:30 on Friday. So, you know, there you go. All right. Let's go from that to midseason All-Pro picks. I thought this was interesting. If I told you the Cowboys have two All-Pros from Sports Illustrated at the halfway point, one first team, one second team, who are they?
Two all, Dak?
Nope.
CD?
Nope.
George Pickens?
Kyle Yeomans.
Kyle Yeomans.
Not Kyle Yeomans. George Pickens was named the second team wide receiver.
Jake Ferguson.
One of the second team wide receivers. Ooh, that is a good answer. It's Brandon Aubrey.
Yep.
Brandon Aubrey.
Does he count?
First team all pro. Yes, wow. He counts.
Kickers are people too, Majors.
Fine.
So what you want to say is one real all pro.
And then a special teams player.
Wow.
Hey, does everybody agree with me that you would rather not see him kick?
No.
Oh, I was going to say yes.
I'm just saying, I would rather my team, him be kicking extra points. That's it.
Sure.
That's all I need.
Sure.
But here we are.
Here we are indeed. Now, we mentioned Jordan Love. I want to go back to Jordan Love for just one second. Obviously, one of the reasons that he won that award is the game that they had on Sunday night. Jordan Love tied Brett Favre's 18-year-old record by completing 20 consecutive passes. So,
wow.
Just amazing. Now, most quarterback pressures when blocked one-on-one this season. This is per Next Gen Stats. Which player do you think has the most quarterback pressures when blocked one-on-one?
I don't think Myles Garrett gets one-on-one blocks, so I'm going to say Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons is tied for third with Aiden Hutchinson.
Interesting. Myles Garrett?
Nope.
Because he doesn't ever get blocked one-on-one.
You just saw one of them.
Oh, Benito?
Nick Benito leads the way with 30. George Karloftis, 29, while Parsons and Hutchinson are both at 28. Let's go from that to Lamar Jackson, who revealed he is the one who had the ping pong table and all the fun things taken out of the Ravens locker room because he said he didn't want to say they weren't taking their job seriously. But that feels like it implies that he thinks they weren't taking their job seriously.
I like the leadership.
Yeah.
We need to focus. Our record is what it is right now, and there's got to be reasons for it. And I'm sitting around watching you guys play games while we should be focusing on winning games.
You are going to like this level of leadership as well. Did you see Jackson Dart dress up as Superman to go to a New Jersey pediatric cancer center?
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there's videos of these little kids hugging him and stuff like that. And it's really cool.
Do you take the dog with him too?
I do not see
dog wearing a cape.
The dog, but I saw something even cuter. This little kid named Giuseppe was dressed as the Mogwai. Dang it. Gizmo. There we go. Gizmo from Gremlins. And he took his little head down and gave him a hug, and he's bouncing around.
His name's Giuseppe?
Yeah, that's what it says.
I love that. I really do.
It's tough to spell. I would not have spelled it correctly. You want to give it a shot?
Giuseppe.
Oh!
It
ends PPI.
PPI, okay.
But you got the rest of it. That was very impressive. All right, let's go.
No names.
You know, Corey, that's what I always say about you. You know names.
Thank you.
And then the Patriots traded Keon White to the 49ers and Kyle Duggar to the Steelers.
Fantex is back, baby!
Oh, I thought you were really...
Start texting now!
I thought you were really, really excited about these Patriots trades.
Patriots are in the top five power rankings for the whole morning show.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, so I would say that's a big deal for them to get more.
Right. Probably because of those trades. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, NFL overreaction or reality right here on The Fan.
Hey, it's Sean Sharif.
And RJ Choppy.
We're not just a radio show. We're also a podcast.
Find the Sean and RJ Show anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button, or get every minute of the show on demand the way you want to listen.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.